Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick, potentially temporarily.
And today, we're talking about Code Breakers, which was my choice. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, it's my choice for this week. But before that, we were talking about me finding baby birds in the backyard, birds in general for both of us. And then we decided to delve into the secrets and fundamentals of Naruto and Sakura and then Dragon Ball Z and Gohan. If you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will gain you all that bonus content and more. And now onto the meat and potatoes, sir. Onto the meat and potatoes.
Indeed.
Code Breakers originally came out in October 2012 all the way through December 2012. Producers for it are Bandai Visual, Lantis, Memory Tech, just to name a couple. Kenema Citrus for the studio. The genres are action, comedy, supernatural, school, and superpower, I guess. I mean, I don't get the comedy portion of it. Anyways, and it's 13 episodes long, and it's based off of a manga.
Understandable.
Kind of.
As far as the comedy section goes, I don't know.
Yeah, that's really? That's why I stopped right there. It kind of threw me for a loop because even though comedy is listed as a genre for it, I get where they're trying to go, where they're trying to have that comedic effect, but it just falls flat every time.
I can see that. I can definitely see that
they tried.
Yeah, I was going to say. The attempt was made. I don't know if it was successful, but the attempt was definitely made. The funniest thing I think that happened, the entire thing, was you have a character who is fond of Sakura's boobs, lefty and righty.
Yeah, that would be about it, right? The one of the Codebreaker sisters is very fond of them, and he by proxy is also very fond of those, I guess.
I mean, they tried. They tried. Maybe it was just different humor, but didn't really flow that well for me.
It felt flat, is what it did.
Yeah. The premise of the story is really good. It has amazing potential. But unfortunately, from what I can see, from what I have seen, I should say, it kind of lackluster and doesn't make sense a lot of the time.
That is very true. And one of the things I didn't really understand, like, so they have code breakers, they're all given their codes, they're all given their viewpoints or their rank, how they get their rank, why they have the rank that they have. It's kind of bewildering. I mean, they kind of touch on one of the problems about this series is that they touch on a lot of information, but they don't really explain or give you the details to help you understand what you're being fed.
Yeah, yes. That's exactly it. And the explanations you do get are frustratingly confusing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And while super confusing, are never answered.
Yeah.
For instance, there seems to be a mechanic in the show that allows you to limit your own ability. Maybe, kind of, potentially. So to give you an example, the main character that we have has his ability. He's number six, Codebreaker number six, or Ryu, I think his name was.
Ogami or Rei?
Rei, yeah.
Yep.
His Ugami. Ability is...
Ugami. Yep.
Ugami. Okay. His ability is to light people on fire.
Or anything, probably? Really. Anything. Just light anything on fire. And direct anything with electricity?
No. No, that was a side effect. I know what you're talking about. That was a side effect.
No, I'm just saying, like, and redirect the electricity. I mean, like, that's, I mean, I don't know about you, but I can, I can do that. Yes, I am referring to the fight, but he can also burn up bullets in midair.
Yep.
As it's flying towards you, just spontaneously combust it, burn things just randomly. I figured it out.
He's able. So the flame he has is blue, which is supposed to be one of the hottest flames available. All he's doing is treating any incoming object similar to that of an object entering the atmosphere. It burns away the friction, the heat, it burns it up. I have no idea what happens to the kinetic energy, because that seems like that would be a thing that should exist in this world, but doesn't. but regardless, what happened, like when he's shot with bullets, he burns the bullets before they reach him. Essentially, they're receiving such friction prior to reaching him, they lose all momentum and they melt and vaporize. The flame is so hot, but for some reason it doesn't burn the grass around him. It doesn't ignite the atmosphere. It doesn't do a lot of things that you're supposed to have in physics.
Well, it burns 100% controllable for him.
Yeah. And yes. And so he's like a firebender.
Kind of, but he can only do it with one hand. And it's also only through physical contact. He can't exactly like shoot out a fireball and have it like launch across the yard. It's like within limitation, right? He can kind of have it go out a little bit, like a few feet away from his hand, or shoot the blaze out. But he can't just like create a fireball in his hand and throw it out there to blow someone up. It doesn't quite work like that. Yeah. Basically like a human torch.
Well, that was in the Fantastic Four, the human torch.
No, not even that, because it's the human torch engulfs his own body.
Yes.
It's for him, it's one hand.
Just his arm. Well, I thought he was able to get up to the elbow.
No, just his hand.
Just his hand. Okay. Just his
hand. I mean, like if his hand's like down by his hip and he has the flames go up to his elbow. Doesn't burn anything. Doesn't burn his shirt or anything else, but you know, I mean, it's his hand. That's why he even comments about wearing the glove. It's like, it's so that way I don't burn anyone. That's why he wears the glove. I mean,
that doesn't make any sense either.
I'm sorry. Are you looking for logic in this, sir? Are you looking
a little bit? Yeah.
Okay. So let's delve into this. All right. We have our main female protagonist, Sakura, who is very skilled, very formidable, very intelligent across the board. She
everything is, that another Sakura isn't, but go ahead.
It's not true.
This Sakura, actually intelligent.
Is she though?
Yeah.
Is she though?
In comparison, yeah.
Is she though? Because I found this Sakura, honestly, to be pretty dumb, annoying, and just really aggravating. Just like not in a great way. That. Like at all.
No, I understand.
If you want to compare her to that one, I'd be like, honestly, they're on par. And they were both written poorly. That's the characteristic. They were both written poorly.
I feel like this one, this Sakura was, for lack of a better way to say it, I feel like this one was too righteous, too dedicated to her Nindo way. No, she was too dedicated to her moral standing, her moral superiority. She was too dedicated to being the goody two shoes.
Too dedicated, you know? is not a strong enough word.
Well, she was dedicated to the point of absurdity.
Exactly.
Like she saw this man. So our main character controls fire. Our first introduction to him was essentially burning the crap out of people. And you find out a little bit later, he works for the government. And the government basically says, hey, we need these people taken care of. He goes there, and I don't know if he confirms it prior, but he's like, I found my mark. My mark's got to die. Okay, they're dead. And he's cold-blooded.
He is. And it's a breath of fresh air.
Good.
I was going to say, they that's one of the consistents all the way through, is he is consistently very cold-blooded.
Yeah, cold, calculating. The biggest thing that I liked about him was he said it many times. I know I'm evil. I recognize my own kind. Well, and then she goes, well, how can you judge them if you're just like them? And he goes, I'm the only one that can. If you were to go, I see them as evil beings. I'm going to address it because this is my role. This is my job. I'm evil. I recognize evil people. And my job is to become the evil that eats, consumes, burns to ash other evil. And he's very, very good at his job.
He is. He
even he though he's is. Number six, which is lowest on the totem.
In terms of rank.
What we find in terms of rank, as far as what we call the code breakers. I thought it was an experience as well. Until, like, I would say middle, you find out that the only way to raise your rank is essentially have a coworker die.
Basically. Or...
I mean, you could trial by combat your way up, but it's very rare that actually happens. There's a reason why people are number one, number two, number
three. Well, it's four, not it's five. Not even just that, right? Because you had the number two, and he was the consistent number two. So you had Heike. He was consistently the second one.
Yeah.
And he had people move up and below him, and he said he was like the judger and that he watched over everyone and everything like that, which is, you know, his role. But I think it's more than just that in terms of ranks for the ranks. I feel like there's more having to do with it than what we're actually being told or the information we're being fed. So I feel like they purposefully left out a lot, and that there's a lot of information that we're not being told because it was only 13 episodes. It was only 13 episodes. And you know from the information that they gave you, from the little tidbits at the very end, that we were way under given information.
Informed.
Yeah, there's so much going on. There's so much happening. There's all these different pieces and cogs and everything else like that going on that we have no idea about. No information.
Well, the thing that got me is there's six code breakers, right?
Yes.
Now, the six code breakers are individuals who have abilities, powers, and paranormal attributes, let's call them. And there's one that, so number two works with the light. It reminds me of One Piece, where people eat devil fruit and gain powers. You've got the light power. You've got the dark power. You've got the ice power. You've got the lightning power. You've got fire power that our main protagonist has. As we have Magneto, essentially.
Right.
The magnetized kid. Who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing.
It's not that they eat.
Sound guy.
Well, you have a sound guy.
They don't
eat
anything.
So it's more like
they're X-Men. Born with it.
More like X-Men. X-Men are born with their powers. One's specialized or utilized in a very particular way. So it's basically that's what these were. These were X-Men. You had the one guy, he was like Magneto. It was magnets. You had one guy focused specifically on electricity. You had another guy focused specifically on light. Another one on shadow. Another one on ice. You had one, not what part of the Codebreakers, the one that was ice, but like each one was focused individually on something.
Well, that brings me to my next question, my main question at the earlier stages. Supposedly these people are not few and far between. The numbers that I was able to gather, I have no source. This is just off of my own guesstimation of how many children, how many people, how many men, how many women we've seen in this. I would say one out of every 100,000 people have an ability of some kind. Whether it's strong or not, that's a different story. But they have this ability, this mutation, let's call it.
Yeah.
How come only six work for the government? What happens to the rest? They either become evil or, like, I don't know.
Well, it's not that only six work for the government. We only know of six that work for the government. And you'll have a lot of those children that are abducted and taken, and they are the ones that are basically in those facilities, government facilities at the same time.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's it too. If they're too weak to use their own ability, they get put in a canister / coffin and strapped to somebody else's back, and they're used as a battery until they're dead.
Well, it's not because they were too weak per se. They were just used for testing, and that's all that guy cared about. The ones that were really weak, their organs were harvested.
I thought their organs were harvested once they died out of the canister. I didn't realize that the two weak ones were just straight up. All right. Well, you're good for something. We're going to figure out what it is. Let's open you up.
Yep. That's how I interpreted it. That's how I saw it. I was brutal. Like, God damn, man, that's harsh.
And see, I took it as they're so weak that they can't use their own stuff. So they're acting as a battery source for someone else who is also weak. And so he's like, I can use this power to boost my own, as it, not necessarily a 1+1, but like a multiplication where 1 × 1 doesn't quite equal 1. But it, like in this particular scenario, math works in such a manner that 1 psychic × 1 psychic equals the power of 3 psychics.
Right.
Instead of just 2, that kind of thing. And then it's a use till you suck you dry and then pop in a new battery kind of thing. And then I thought that the used up battery still had a little bit of life in it, given the fact that they're still able to talk. And prior to being completely dead, everything was harvested, which is a horrible way to go now that you think of it.
Yeah.
Man, this anime is kind of dark, isn't it?
It is really dark, but which is why it really threw me off that they threw a comedy genre on there for it. Why comedy is listed with it? Because it's really dark. It's really messed up. I mean, like a lot of the stuff that goes on, a lot of the stuff that happens, and then you have the guy, the main evil protagonist, you know, Hitomi, who's basically being hunted by all of them. And the only reason why the other Codebreakers were there, and he's like, I'm trying to protect you. It's like, all right, why? So how does murdering all these innocents make it better? Like,
yeah, his plan was, I'm going to get attention by blowing everybody up.
We're going to bring attention to the people with powers by blowing everyone up. Yeah, that's really going to go well. Let's blow everyone up. Say I have powers and then make it illegal for everyone that has a power to basically live and have everyone go on a hunting rampage for him.
I mean, the long game didn't seem to be his strong suit.
Right.
So it was all about what can I do to make myself feel better now? And in all honesty, like I understand the thought process. The execution is where I would have called something else.
Yeah. No, I understand. I also want to know, like, when, so here's another question that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have all that going on. He's supposedly very powerful and everything like that. He wanted to, like, get this whole ball rolling and everything like that.
Fair.
You have Heike, who apparently knows a hell of a lot more than what he's letting on.
Okay.
Toki obviously knows some stuff going down, knows a lot more than what he's letting on.
Go on.
When Toki was at the house or at the school, was he at the house or the school when he ran into his sister?
Cool.
Why was there that big ass door with that giant beam on it with all those chains and locks?
I got nothing. It makes no sense to the point I have to be like, I have to dispel my own belief. I have to dispel my own thought process and just be like, they wrote it. They want it this way. It is what it is. You disagree?
No. I feel like much to everything else that happened in the show, that they're just gonna, you know, give you a little nugget of like, oh, here's this interesting plot line that could possibly lead to a lot more. And we'll just go with that way. Why not? Sure. Okay. Like, random ass door. That's cool. Let's move. Let's look at this. Turn your back to it. Why he ran to it's another story entirely. And then he just leaves. It's like he obviously went there and, you know, he obviously went there for a reason. He went to the school for a reason. He looked at that door that had that big beam on it for a reason. And then he just leaves.
But what was the beam doing there?
I don't know.
Was it propped up against the door?
It was remember how it was leaning? It was like locked up against the door with all the chains and the locks and things like that.
Oh, like it was holding something in.
Yes. At the school.
It happens. It's one of the 7 mysteries of the school.
Okay. Okay. Why not? Sure.
Yeah. One of the 7 mysteries of the school. You got to work somewhere, right?
Right. I don't know, man. There's a lot that goes on. There's a lot that happens here. There's a lot that I'm like really confused about. There's like even more that I'm just like, why? Why did this happen? Who did this? Why is this going on?
I don't know. I thought it was a bit interesting that whenever they would mention like, I'm nobody, I live outside the world, I live outside everything, they seem to believe it. and yet they never needed anything for money.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, how did you just buy that? How are you eating that? How did you, there's no money at all. If you don't exist, do you have a checking account?
Right.
You have a chip?
Right.
You have something?
No, that you, apparently not. So I want to know it? how they're able to erase memories of people, right? Oh, I don't really exist. Your sister's memory has been wiped of you. She don't know who you are. How?
Yeah, I got a question. Did the sister remember him like for reals or no?
Well, that's the thing, right? That's what Toki said. He goes, did she really like start remembering me? And then all of a sudden she just like reverted. It was like part of her memory trying to break free of the psychosomatic, telepathic, psychokinesis type barrier that's around her memories. Is that like what's going on? Because her tone, her look, everything completely changed.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was almost as if clarity happened, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Maybe we have somebody we didn't know about who was able to alter memories. Maybe that's an ability too.
You know, that's a very good possibility.
I mean, it makes sense. You got doors with iron bars that is never explained. So why not have abilities that are not exposed?
True. Well, you know, here's the interesting thing, right? Like, to what extent does your ability actually go to, like, in what fathom? So for Heki, his light ability, right? Does that mean like information as well? Like, was he able to just like transmit information or things like that?
You mean like too? Learn it?
Yeah.
So it's very similar to the Flash. He's able to go as fast as the speed of light. Does that mean his thought process goes that fast as well? So he's able to learn, comprehend, and understand things at that level as well?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Then it goes into how creative you can be with your power. What are the limitations? Because we don't really see the limitations. He made duplicates of himself that were able to function independent.
Yeah.
And by copies, I mean like Shadow Clone Jutsu style, like solid receive a punch, give a punch, use the ability kind of clones. Now, that would be kind of cool if once they went away, he'd be able to experience all of the things that happened. Or is it possible that he's just moving so fast that all you see is the after image? And he's moving so fast that, yes, everything that you see is real.
No, he's not moving. as soon as his concentration got interrupted, they disappeared. So we know that it's not because he's moving that fast, but
they didn't disappear. They stopped moving.
True. Yeah, that's true. But does that mean like he could have all those there and they all focus on a particular subject and he's learning at the exact same time? Is he seeing what they're seeing at the exact same time too?
It's very possible. I mean, I think it might be possible only because he had his back to the whole fight as this was going on behind a pillar.
Yeah.
That he could not be seen. So, and I mean, everything was still working. He was still fighting like normal. He was still able to make moves, to do things, to make independent decisions.
I don't know, man. There's like, and the same thing, right? Here's another example. Sound, right? The sound guy, Yuki. Yeah. He's able to use the sound to actually fly and propel himself. It's more than just destruction. He's able to just like fly into the sky and use the sound to help him move across.
Well, I think just like the X-Men, there was this guy who could scream his way to fly, but he also used it in a very interesting way that I didn't think was quite possible. He was able to use his voice like sonar.
Yeah.
And so it's not just his voice, it's his ears. If that's the case, how come he only did like a mouth blast? Like he could have done so many more things, snap his fingers, you know, do a step. He could do it all by himself, you know?
Well, the other thing is also when he went to where the bombs were, he was putting his hand there and giving out that sound as well. So it's not unreasonable to expect him to be able to do it from like a snap or something else.
Well, what really frustrated me about his ability is it didn't reflect. It didn't bounce. Like if I were to scream in an empty room, I'd hear an echo. It'd almost be immediate, but I'd hear an echo. wouldn't it be kind of awesome if the sound blast that was dispersed or hit you or going at you hit the behind the wall, or you dodged it so it hits the wall behind you? Well, it reflects. It spreads out. It reflects. It now is all around you. You can't escape it. Your ears are bleeding. You're done.
Right. But it goes again to how creative you can be with your power. So I think it also comes to a point to where it's a limitation on you yourself and how you use it. You're limited by your imagination and what you can figure out what to do and how to utilize it.
I mean, and he'll turn into a cat after he taps out, after he goes
lost
above and beyond. Lost, yeah. That was an interesting concept. I liked.
Everyone's different, yeah, in their own lost ability, so how they go lost is different. Yuki's turns into a cat. For Ogami, I guess he passes out or gets overheated.
It's possible. I think so.
Toki becomes a child again,
which is hilarious. Now, Daira, I forget, did his sister remember him while he was a child or as an adult?
As an adult.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if it was a child, maybe it's you lose your ability to remember everything up until a certain point.
Maybe. I don't know. There's so much that happens here, and there's so many questions that I have, and the ending just really honestly doesn't help it for me. And I feel like at this point, we would get on to a long
ending real quick, or
we can.
Okay. So no, we normally don't talk about the ending specifically because we feel like it's beneficial for you, the viewer, the audience, to watch it yourself, to get that experience for yourself. But this one, while the animation is solid, the fight scenes are great. And honestly, I feel like the background characters have a lot to give. The story is just super lackluster.
It is.
And essentially, number one revolts and tries to go to his superiors and is like, hey, I found out what happens to us if we overuse our powers. Maybe give us a break. Maybe cycle through. Like, have certain people, like, you know, for this 6 months, you use your abilities. For this 6 months, you use your abilities. You know, that kind of thing, to try to elongate your lifespan, to give you a better life. And the Prime Minister just looks at the code breakers as pawns, as tools, as, you know, if I break you, if you get broken, there's still hundreds of millions of people born every day with your abilities that could be stronger, that, you know. And if you were basically, the way that I looked at it, the way I saw it, the way I understood it, was that, let's say I've got a meter that is goes from full to empty, right? And I start on empty. I have all the ability in the world that I can use. The second my meter, and every time I use my ability, a little nugget goes into that meter. When the meter is full, my power rebels against me and attacks me. And all of number one's previous compatriots, previous teammates, this happened to, where their own ability killed them. They overused it. They used it to its capacity, and they're dead now. And he wanted to understand why. It turns out that the Prime Minister and everyone in charge of this whole program knew what was going on.
Right.
And they were like, we don't care. It's a tool. It breaks, we get a new one. And he was like, we're people. It's not just that, right?
He wanted them to really, he wanted to, from my understanding, wanted to focus on like bringing light to it, or even try and find a way to help prevent it from actually happening. Shed the research on it. And he focuses on that as well, even when he's trying to get that information. And I feel like some of the information that he was looking for that they got in trouble for was specifically because he was trying to figure out or trying to find a way to be able to prevent it from happening or reverse the effects of it. Because you find out that when he was branded a traitor and a terrorist and was put out on the run, he was already showing signs of that, of the code end, as they like to call it. Now, here's the interesting thing. It had been weeks or months since he started showing signs then at that point.
Yeah.
So it had been a very long period of time. Does that mean that when you start showing signs, if you limit the amount that you use your ability, can you potentially elongate it? Or if you cease to use your ability at that point, will you be able to forever stay? Like, basically, you hit that wall. Once you start showing signs, that's it. You can't use your ability anymore. You're forced to live as a human.
It would be, I feel like the story would have been richer and would have been more full if he would have proposed an idea similar to that. Like, you know, when I was going nuts with these guys, I was explaining, I figured out a way to prevent this.
Yeah.
Figured a way, at least not prevent it, but like postpone it, push it back a little bit more. And here's how I did it. I'm alive today because of these practices, and I feel we should investigate this even more.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's
and no one was listening to him.
Well, it's not that no one listened to him. They didn't care. And the people that knew about the code end, they already knew. They're like, why didn't you tell us? We would have gone with you. We would have helped out and everything like that. And so.
And yeah, he assumed code end was a
secret.
A secret. And it turns out like four or five people are like, yeah, I know about it. Yeah. Four of the six are like, yeah, we knew. We could feel it too, kind of thing. I don't know if we could feel it, but like.
No, they understood and they knew. They were like, yeah, we already know about this.
Yeah.
This isn't a secret.
While fighting number one, he's older, which I imagine means he's more experienced. And he was able to just unleash copious amounts of electricity to the point where he was knocking everyone else back, just straight up bitch smacking everybody. Like, it was embarrassing, to say the very least. True. And then
but
he fights number six. Go ahead.
But
yeah,
I feel like we should leave that little bit for them to experience themselves.
Okay. That was a good part. I'll give you that. That was a good part. So there.
So on that wonderful note, I feel like this is a great spot for a rating, sir. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I was thinking to myself just now what number I should give him.
Well, on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate it?
It's difficult because I watched it before, you know? I didn't watch the whole thing before. I watched like a little bit. And I feel like second time around, it wasn't as good. Maybe it was nostalgia. Maybe you just actually finished it this time.
Are you trying to remember the name of the podcast?
Yeah. Sorry. It's taking me a second.
Yeah. It's Will I Continue that we both appeared on a few weeks back. It was, when Happily Married Gamer invited us on there.
Yeah, that was it. So yeah, we walked. So this was the first episode on that one. Of the Will I Continue? And I mean, we did continue.
Obviously.
But obviously, we're doing a review on it. And at the time, I was like, yeah, I think I will. I don't know that it was worth it. I don't know that it was worth the time spent, you know? I'm sure there is on YouTube or something like that, a video that has all 13 episodes on it that you can binge watch in like, 4.5, 5 hours, something like that. Throw it on like double speed because you're not missing anything,
right?
In the dub, and you'll be able to see exactly
so much in the dubs, though. They changed.
Well, I watched the dubs, though.
No, I'm saying they changed a lot of the dialogue in the dubs. Not story, not groundbreaking story wise. It's just conversationally, one versus the other. Really, it was not apples to apples. It was like the whole scene. So Toki, when he's having lunch with his dad.
Yeah.
That dialogue in between subs and dubs is pretty different.
Give me an example if you could.
It's noticeably different in between the two of them. Right. It's like the one's context. Yeah. I would have to say in the subs, Toki's a lot more cold and he's very like, what the hell do you want type of mentality. And the dubs is very, I'm angry with you, blah, blah, blah type of mentality. And then like when Toki's walking away in the dubs, he calls him a son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. In the subs, he calls him a coward.
Okay. Context matters.
Yes.
Context matters.
Yes.
So, but I mean,
take it for what you will.
Yeah.
One way or the other, the story is still completely shot. The story is still incomplete. You're still given lackluster information, lackluster story, lackluster everything.
Kind of crap ending.
Yes.
So honestly, I couldn't give it more than a 4. Like, I might be pushed to a 3. It's a very weak 4, very strong 3, for me at least. You know what? The animation style was good. I loved the fight scene. So I'm going to say 4. Not much, not great. I wouldn't, if you were like, hey, we should watch it again, I'd probably be like, all right, can we mute it? could you just show me the fight scenes? Because other than that, like, the story, it ain't there, fam. It ain't it.
Yeah, no, they definitely left a lot to be desired and gave you no information, really. And just honestly left me with a lot more questions than anything else. The art style, I mean, it was nice. The art style was good. However, it did not feel like a 2012 animation. It felt like a 90s.
That was 2012?
Yes. It felt like a 90s animation to me. It felt like
2005.
That
makes sense, though.
Yeah. It felt older. It felt a lot older than what it did. Not saying that that's a bad thing.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a good thing.
But in this case, it's not a great thing. Personally. I'm going to go with a 3 because
okay, so we're right around the same,
largely because of all those points that we already talked about. Granted, yeah, there's a lot of information. You can have these really in-depth discussions on it. However, it's more so trying to figure it out because you have received nothing in terms of substance from it.
Yeah.
Not because absolutely. You enjoyed it. It's because you're like, what?
Giving it the substance it needs.
Yeah, you're trying to figure it out. It's like, wait, so why did this happen? I don't know. Why did that happen? Let's figure this out. Is it great? No. Is it what we got? Yeah, sadly. So,
do you think it could use a second season?
Oh, most definitely, because they left it open like it was the second season. Yeah, they left it open like there's going to be a second season. I mean,
see, I felt like
I don't know how much more open you could have left it.
So I personally felt like it wasn't left open. Like, they did give it an ending, but the ending just sucked. Similar, very similar to Bleach's ending. Something to the effect of, I'll be around, kid. Whenever you sink, you know, the grapes of wrath kind of thing. Whenever someone's in trouble, I'll be there.
No, they didn't even do that. They're like,
no, they didn't. But that's what it felt like.
No, it didn't even feel like that. They're like, oh, this ominous organization over here. Oh, he finally showed this one true power or whatever. Or he showed us this. And now this other person over here is like this. And then they introduce one random character at the very end. They're like, ha-ha, here I am. And you're like, cool. This is the last episode, though. You even said it was the last episode. It said final episode. Like, legitimately, final episode. You're going to tell me that you're going to introduce character A, character B, and character C, and then go with the subplot of G over here, and then you're gonna go deuces. That's bull.
It's something that they're gonna be like, you should read the manga because the manga continues on.
It's bull. I am my time had been wasted, sir. My time had been wasted. All right.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Well.
So, what about next week?
Well, hopefully next week it's going to be something a little bit better. It's going to be a movie.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a random choice, and it's called Wolf Children.
How random is the choice? Is it slice of life of any kind? We'll see.
I actually don't know. I hit it, and I clicked on where is it available. It told me it's available on Funimation to watch. I'm like, cool, we're going with that one then.
Fair enough.
That's the extent of my knowledge on it. It was like, where can I watch this? Is it on any of the platforms easily accessible? Yes. We're going with that one right there.
Fair enough. I look forward to it.
We'll see. I'm hesitant because of the name.
Wolf Children.
Okay. Well, thanks for hanging out with us today. Hope you enjoyed this week's choice. Let us know if we got something right, something wrong, just totally missed the mark on a lot of it, much like this anime did. feel free to let us know. If you are interested, though, in buying it or any other anime merch, we do actually have a affiliate link in the description and show notes for you. Go ahead, click on that. We do get a small kickback for that. It is appreciated. Or if you want to buy some of our swanky swag, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. If you want to become a patron, listen to some of the bonus content that we usually talk about before and sometimes after each show. Get access to our exclusive episodes. We just did High School DxD Season 2, or High School DxD New. You want to listen to that, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. Email us at featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to tweet at us, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter, Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook, or if you want to talk to us on our Discord, we're always hanging out in there. The link for that's going to be in the show notes, so go ahead and join us. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.